Portugal's government is on the brink, which means the European debt crisis just got worse.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
Good morning from APM, American Public Media in Los Angeles. I'm Jeremy Hobson. The Portuguese Prime Minister has resigned because his government didn't like his plans to cut the budget and reduce the country's debt. European leaders are digesting that news today in Brussels at a meeting about the debt crisis. Marketplace's Europe correspondent Stephen Beard joins us live now with more. Hi, Stephen.
Hello, Jeremy.
So here we go again with this European debt crisis. What does the resignation of the Prime Minister in Portugal mean for the country and its debt?
Well, it means that the country doesn't have a new deficit reduction plan, and it now has a political uncertainty too. This is going to make it harder for the Portuguese to borrow, and it makes it much more likely that Portugal's going to have to be bailed out, like Greece and like Ireland. And this is the problem for the euro. This would be the third euro country to be bailed out, the third domino. Here's Steve Barrow of Standard Bank.
As these dominoes fall, the market really just sort of sniffs blood and feels that literally any country could be vulnerable.
Spain is another possible domino, which would pose huge problems for the Eurozone because it's three or four times the size of Greece, Ireland and Portugal put together.
Now, Stephen, I mentioned this European summit today in Brussels. Right. Are leaders there going to be able to provide any answers to these latest flare-ups?
Well, they hope that this summit is going to stop the rot. Among other things, it sets up a beefed-up bailout fund. But the Portuguese fiasco is an undoubted blow and embarrassment, and it does suggest this may be this debt crisis is bigger than EU leaders realize.
Marketplace's Stephen Beard joining us live from London. Thanks, Stephen.
Okay, Jeremy.
Well, now to Marketplace's continuing coverage of the tragedy in Japan. The economic effects are already being felt across Asia. As the BBC's Rebecca Singer reports, production stoppages in Japan have some other countries in the region stepping in to fill the void.
Japan is famous for its electronics, and so increasingly is South Korea. And with a shutdown in Japanese manufacturing, Korean companies are already feeling the benefit as customers look for alternative supplies. But longer-term supply problems could be a major headache for countries like Taiwan and China. They rely on imports of Japanese components to assemble final products. Stephen Joskies from the Economist Intelligence Unit in Beijing and says manufacturing there has already been affected.
There's already been a clear impact in terms of, I think, the high-end electronics and a lot of the components for Japanese manufactured goods in China. We've already noticed, you know, the price of Japanese consumer goods, some items in low stock, has risen quite rapidly already.
The one country which stands to benefit the most is Australia. Japan's suffering from major power shortages. So for energy, it will most likely turn to Australia's supply of coal and gas. And as Japan begins to rebuild, it will need lots of steel and will rely heavily on Australia for its iron ore and coking coal. I'm the BBC's Rebecca Singer for Marketplace.
And let's do the numbers. Stocks are mostly higher across the world. European stocks up a fraction of a percent right now. IMAX said today it's experiencing record growth in China, and the company will open up 75 more theaters there in the next 4 years. On Wall Street yesterday, news that Americans are still buying plenty of gasoline despite the high prices at the pump sent the Dow up 67 points. It closed at 12,086.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by MassMutual, offering retirement and 401k plans to businesses for more than 60 years. MassMutual.com/retirestrong. By CSX, whose trains move a ton of freight nearly 500 miles on 1 gallon of fuel to help reduce fuel consumption. CSX, how tomorrow moves. And by Thomson Reuters, committed to empowering professionals of the world with the knowledge needed to do what they do best. The Knowledge Effect.
You know that $39 billion AT&T takeover of T-Mobile, the one that would reduce competition in the world of cell phone service? Well, for some reason, it's got our economics correspondent, Chris Farrell, very excited. He joins us now. Hi, Chris.
Hey, Jeremy.
So why are you so excited about this big AT&T T-Mobile deal that we found out about this week? I mean, everybody says it's going to be terrible for consumers.
Well, but it's good news for the economy. I mean, think about it this way, Jeremy. You know, CEOs for the past couple of years have been scared. They've been in a survival mode. Well, they're now leaving the bunker. They're willing to take a risk. They're going to, you know, buy a business. They're going to expand. And so, you know, the famous phrase of John Maynard Keynes, the animal spirits of capitalism, at least in the executive suite, are being unleashed.
Well, why are they being unleashed right now? We've still got a lot of uncertainty in places like Libya and Japan. Why are CEOs so ready to jump into the marketplace again?
Well, the signs have been growing that this economy is doing better. So I think it is a time to consolidate your business, to expand your business if that's what you want to do. And if the economy is getting better, it's a safe forecast to say interest rates are going to go up and therefore an acquisition would be more expensive down the road.
And what do these mergers and acquisitions, if we're about to get into a big M&A boom, what does this mean for the rest of us?
Well, we have a lot of experience with this. And what we know is that it means in companies where you have the mergers, there's going to be a lot of job losses.
Right.
Because you're going to get rid of redundant positions, right? That's just what happens. And you have to justify the costs and all the efficiencies. And then in certain industries where you're having a lot of consolidation, you're sort of eliminating the competition, again, a lot of job losses. If you take a look from the perspective of the overall economy, however, it's that, you know, famous phrase by Joseph Schumpeter, creative destruction. I think we're seeing more growth. I think we're seeing more opportunity. So overall, job creation. But if you're in the wrong place at the wrong time, job losses.
Marketplace economics correspondent Chris Farrell. Thanks, Chris.
Thanks a lot.
And finally, Goldman Sachs CEO Lloyd Blankfein was testifying at an insider trading trial yesterday, and he gave us some interesting tidbits about Lloyd Blankfein the man. For instance, he said he often reads the Wall Street Journal, but not always. He said he prefers voicemail to email, and he described the bank's willingness to trade with its clients as, quote, a service we do for the world, end quote. He quickly changed that to a service we do for our clients. Sounds better to me. In Los Angeles, I'm Jeremy Hobson. On Twitter, at Jeremy Hobson, this is the Marketplace Morning Report. And this is APM, American Public Media.
When you think of Petco, the pet supply store, this is probably not what comes to mind.
It is the size of a Blockbuster video. It is very trendy, upbeat. Your sales staff is in jeans and really cool t-shirts.
I'm Kai Rizdahl taking Fido upmarket next time on Marketplace from APM, American Public Media.